right, everyone. Welcome to The Independent Mindset, the podcast for having candid conversations, staying curious, and most importantly, being better. So, Jason, what's new with you?
I just got back from a week and a visiting the folks. It was Easter weekend last weekend, so I had a few extra days off and made the most of it and got out to the countryside for a little while. And it was good for the old mental diet. We'll get to that soon enough. How about you, Matt? What's new?
I got a kind of a funny story for you. I was out in the driveway. So me and my neighbor share like a massive double driveway. It's huge. But we were changing our tires together this past weekend, beautiful outside. So it was nice out. My dog likes to be involved in everything. So I have a big 90-pound black lab. So I tied him up to we got an entrance way, right? For the main door of the house, and it's got two pillars. So I leash him up to one pillar. So he's chilling there. But at some point I get into my car to back it up maybe like an inch. And he gets really excited and freaks out because he loves going on drives. So the second I, sit down in the car, he loses it and starts pulling and no problem, just pulls the pillar right out from underneath the overhang.
Oh, you're kidding.
That was great.
So was it rotten or something, or just was it bolted in or screwed in? What was going on?
No, my dog is just very strong. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it was, turns out, thankfully, it clearly wasn't that much of a support beam, of a support pillar, sorry. It wasn't weight bearing because there was only two 2x4s inside the frame. And yeah, the bottom was quite rotten. So I'll probably have to buy some, thinking maybe some two 6x6s and pressure treat it and paint that and install that.
Oh, you're going to go big. You're going to upsize it to 6x6.
Well, it's basically 6x6 now because it's two 2x4s, but they're framed.
Oh, okay.
They've got some paneling around it. So it's essentially a 6x6 anyways, just weaker because it's not one whole piece of wood and it's not treated wood. So it was just painted.
God, the dog must've freaked out though. He starts pulling, all of a sudden that is coming down behind him.
Yeah, he didn't give a shit as long as he's
been he didn't even notice.
No, honestly, as long as he got into the car.
I can't believe he's 90 pounds already.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. He's done. He's about 2.5, so.
Okay. Yeah. He's a big boy.
Yeah, he's a big boy. Yeah. Big ball of love.
Did you say you brought him for a run today too?
Yeah, I went for just a quick run there. We've got a little kind of a hill green space in the back, so just run up and down that hill. He it's a little hard for him in the spring because he's a big black lab. So it takes a while getting used to the heat again, or even just the sun, but he loves it.
Good stuff, man.
Yeah. So Jason, today we're talking about a topic I know you like a lot. So I'll let you lead off on this, but today's the mental diet. So we, here at this podcast, we try to talk about, health, wellness, just how to better yourself, things like that. But this one is specifically about the mental game, the psyche. So maybe start us off with what you mean by mental diet. What are we going to talk about today?
Yeah, man. The way I see it is kind of a combination of two things. It's what's being put into your mind and then the processes of your thought process afterwards. So like whether we realize it or not, we're very dependent on the visual and on the audio. So if you're seeing a lot of nice things, you're experiencing nice things, or you're hearing good things, you're probably going to be in a better mood. You're going to think better thoughts, and that will spiral in one way or another. And also at the same time, if you're in a negative environment, but you're able to discipline yourself, think positive thoughts, have a goal, have a purpose, stay on that track, you're probably also going to have a positive mindset. And I think it's something that we all know, but it's good to be conscious of how much that plays a vital role in the success of your life. It's just being able to have that success-oriented mindset and understanding the factors that will mess with you.
Right. Yeah, it's a little bit like working out or just being healthy physically, right? It's always got to be on your mind. You've always got to put that extra effort to, not eat that extra cracker, piece of cake, or do that extra deadlift, whatever it may be.
Rent is due every day in the realm of success.
Exactly. As you know, Ben Franklin, one of my favorite quotes, Ben Franklin said, without, there is no, what is it? There is no gain without pain. Or he might flip it, but that's his quote originally.
Oh, I thought that was Arnold. Come on, man. Pumping Iron was a great movie.
No, man, that's Ben Franklin.
Look at this guy. Man, Ben Franklin was a legend. Like, he legit did everything.
Mm-hmm. That guy was a polymath for sure.
We should do an episode on life and times of Ben Franklin.
I'm down. Hey, as our in-house historian, I'll get that started. Oh, man, I think that's a good idea, actually.
I would enjoy that.
Because I definitely don't know as much as I should about Ben Franklin. He's a pretty fascinating guy.
I forget what episode we were on, but there was one of them. I spoke on like the first settlers in the Moncton area. And turns out Ben Franklin was the one who like signed their passport to leave the U.S. to come up to Canada and start to like défricher la terre here.
Yeah, to work the lands. It was some American colonies.
It was German families who sailed across the Atlantic to go to Pennsylvania.
Okay.
They worked in Pennsylvania for, I think, about 7 years to pay off the debt from the Atlantic crossing. Imagine that. 7 years just for a boat ride.
Right. And today we call that slavery.
Yeah. It's essentially that's what it was, right?
Well, and indebted servitude, I guess, at that point.
And eventually, when the titles came up for Atlantic Canada, the Moncton area, like Halifax was starting to be settled, and now you're going a little bit further inland up the Fundy coast, and they were looking for hardy, strong-willed, entrepreneuring families to be the first settlers of that land. And it ended up being those 7 or 9 families, whatever it was, that crossed the Atlantic from Germany, who got the ticket to sail up the Atlantic coast, sail into the Bay of Fundy, and then up the Petticoat River and landed right in the flats of Moncton.
Nice.
Yeah, in 17, whatever, in the late 1700s.
Cool. Well, there you go. You're teaching me some history. It's crazy how hard people worked, eh?
Oh, man, it's insane. Like, I was biking on the waterfront last summer, and there's like 4 or 5 little like areas where it's like, this is where the settlers landed. This was, you know, what they had. This was a photo of the first house taken, you know, 40 years after it was built. And I'm going through all of this. I'm just like, man, like there was no rest. There was no easy life. Like they showed up with some hand tools, a couple of cows, so basics, right? They even have a house, obviously, because they had to build it themselves. And the nearest city or township was Halifax, which is from Moncton, a 3-hour drive by car. About 3 hours. And anyway, so you can imagine back in the day trying to get to Halifax to get, you know, a wood stove or, you know, a piece of metal fabricated or trade, right. You name it.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's nuts, and nothing's guaranteed too. That's another thing. You know, not only is it completely different back in the day, but it's also that like so many things are guaranteed today, therefore taken for granted.
Yeah.
But yeah. So anyway, so back on, I mean, kind of on track, but back on track here. Let's get started in the mental diet. What kind of a sentence that we wrote down here that I like is, you are what you eat. People understand that one a lot, but you become what you think, or you become what you think about on a regular basis. So let's kind of use that sentence to frame our episode here.
Well, let's stick with our same example, the settlers. What were they thinking? I would assume they wanted freedom. They took a massive amount of risk to cross the Atlantic, then work for the better part of a decade to be able to pay and be able to be on the list to have their own land, to be free to work. And they did all of this just to be able to work more to the day of their death. Like they became free. They had to think of that each and every single day. And the rent was due quite literally every day. And it was a matter of life or death. So you can imagine the thoughts they must have had. You can imagine the desire and the will and the purpose that was driving them. And to me, that's one of the perfect examples. Sure, you are what you eat, but they became free because that's what they thought of and that's what they were driven to do.
Right.
And honestly, it's something you hear a lot with entrepreneurs too, right? A lot of the like entrepreneurial coaches, they'll say, if you want to become successful, if you want to lead a business, if you want to do this, that, or the other thing, you're going to have to see the road in your mind before you start walking it.
Yeah, I was going to say, when I used to race, I used to downhill ski, right? Big part of it was, you know, basically visualize yourself going down the hill before you actually go down the hill. Visualize yourself hitting those gates or going around those gates before you actually make it down those gates.
Man, it's been a while since you've downhill skied, eh? Like racing, yeah. Everything.
Yeah, I haven't raced in it. Actually, I did a little kind of adult league here, but it wasn't great. It also happened to be like the worst winter we've had. It was literally rain half the winter, so it sucked. So therefore, just ice on good days.
I hate when we go skiing because I snowboard and you ski. And like I don't care. Like, you can be the best snowboarder. Skis are faster just because it's more aerodynamic. Yes. It's a better position. So like, you're always trolling me. Like, I'm doing my best to keep up. I'm bombing as straight as I can. And I just can't keep the pace. It frustrates me to no end.
It's the way she goes. Just visualize yourself, Jason. Yeah, maybe you'll get
just
there.
Visualize bomb better. I think it was like 3-4 winters ago. I went with one of my university chums, and he's a skier also. We were racing. And I was actually keeping up. I was right neck and neck with him. But to bomb properly in snowboarding, you have to tuck, but you also have to turn a little bit to try to get that straight down position. But when you turn like that, it's going to push one of your feet forward and another one back. And it just so happened that the foot that I pushed forward caught a rut. I flipped completely upside down on my back. I'm flying down the hill like in a laid down back position. Somehow pass him midair, right at the bottom of the hill. So like, hey, it counts. I won. It's good.
Nice.
Somehow didn't hit anyone or a tree. Like, I knew when I flipped, I was like, okay, it's just open area, so I'm not going to hurt anything. No big deal.
Yeah.
But if there would have been like a tree or a post yourself or something, it would have sucked.
Yeah, I actually like falling. Like, people go skiing who aren't necessarily that familiar with it or comfortable. They're really scared of falling, and often that's their downfall. Is what injures them is the fact that they resist so much at not falling. So it's something I kind of learned to be comfortable with when I was really young. So I actually don't mind falling. And guys, for people out there, falling is actually a good thing. In fact, my dad used to, when I would come back from my race practice, my Saturday skiing with the race team, he'd always ask me if, you know, he said, how was your day? Good. Did you fall? And then if I'd say no, he said, you didn't try hard enough.
Oh, good, man. That's some good coaching right there.
Yeah. He was a good skier. He's a racer as well in his prime. So back on track.
I was going to say that ties actually quite well to the mental diet. Like, this was mindset, right? Not so much mental diet, but at least it's putting you on the right path of accepting failure, right?
Like, right.
Name me an entrepreneur. Name me someone successful who hasn't fucked up. Like, yeah, there is none. Every single one has failed. Like, even when it's something silly, like I think of when I was competing in track and field, man, like, I've bombed races. Like, I've fallen over hurdles. I've injured myself pole vaulting. Like, I've done a million things. And you're like, well, that sucked. I guess I'm going to have to go do it again next week.
Yep, absolutely. So actually, I'm going to ask you to define or just kind of talk about a term for the audience here real quick. And then we'll feed off of that. Neuroplasticity, because this has to do with our whole podcast here. So can you talk to us a little bit about neuroplasticity?
Yeah, man. Neuroplasticity is the ability for the brain to physically rewire its neural pathways. So when you think when like your brain is firing a signal, it's going to jump from one neuron to the next, and it's going to follow a predetermined path. And like, every path is responsible for a certain thing. And when you do something like, say, learn a new skill, something like, say, you're learning chords on a guitar or on a piano or something like that, well, you're teaching it to do something new. So you're going to have to form a new motor pathway to be able to do that. And that is, in one sense, neuroplasticity, because you're forming a neural pathway. Another thing that you can do is unlearning abilities and relearning abilities. So in the case of, say, the mental diet, say you're someone who's plagued with depressive thoughts, anxious thoughts, negative thoughts in general, it'll take some work and it'll take some time, but you can, to a certain extent, rewire the structure of your brain to take it from going down the pathway, quite literally the pathway of negativity, towards the new pathway of positivity that you're building.
And, right. It's,
and it's the, it's your body loves, and your body really likes the path of least resistance. So if you're always in a certain thought pattern, think of it like a highway, like an 8-lane super highway. And if you want to shift that, your body has to build, or your brain has to build, a dirt road to start. Well, you can get a lot less information down a dirt road than an 8-lane highway. So it's going to take time to build that dirt road into the new 8-lane highway and deconstruct the old one. So, you know, one thing I think is really the crux of today, and I want you to tell me like some of your experiences here. It's that, it's the filtering of things that go into your mind and how you process them once you're there. So I'll give you an example. Like say you're stuck in traffic, and you know, the sound's annoying, the smell's annoying, you're frustrated. There's a lot of like bad external stimuli coming into your headspace.
I just want to say you could not have picked a better example, because traffic triggers me.
Well, it's because
and both, I don't use that word lightly.
Well, dude, we both come from small towns. Like, traffic doesn't exist. We
exactly. We both
move to places where there is traffic. It's like, what the fuck is this? Why is there people? I don't understand.
Yeah, it's you know, like we used to go for drives for fun. Like, that was part of our culture growing up. And I will drive forever. I don't mind driving, but if I'm not rolling, I have a problem.
Oh yeah, no, I feel you on that one. So like, what does being stuck in traffic espouse in you mentally? And then what's some of the things that you do either to get over that hump or filter it out or use that time productively?
Yes. So the feelings that overcome me right away are, rage. I'm just impatient, that kind of stuff. Because again, like I said, I don't mind driving somewhere, but if I'm being stalled for no reason, and I call traffic no reason, at least in my head, that's, that's how I see it. Then I have a tendency to get impatient and angry. However, if I'm stuck there and there's nothing else I can do, it's listen to a podcast, turn on some music, chat with my, you know, it could be my wife in the car, whoever it may be, that kind of stuff. And sometimes I do tell myself life's good. I do tell myself that, because traffic for me is like one of this unreasonable things, right? Where I'm just like, well, I shouldn't be that upset. It's just traffic. It happens. I live in a city now, so it's just par for the course. So sometimes I tell myself, you know, it's, life's good. Traffic's just a little thing in your good life.
So here's why I pick that. I find traffic is a microcosm example of, say, someone who's living in a bad area of town. Maybe their apartment's not that nice. Maybe their neighbors are a little bit noisy. Maybe there tends to be a dog barking on the other side of the road. Maybe the lights are a little bit flickery on the street, and maybe their walk to work is, you know, half hour. And if they take the bus, it's, you know, the bus is always late, say something like that. So this person is getting a lot of external stimulus that is pushing them towards a negative thought pattern. And when we're talking about mental diet, it's really easy and completely understandable, like we've all been there, to take all these negative stimuli and create a negative mental model for your life, where it's going, and not being able to push through and seeing the goal. So do you have like any examples where, like, maybe it's not to that extreme, like I kind of painted something a little bit wide there, but any times in your life where like the things coming at you were not conducive to like cheery, happy behavior, but you push through it to get to a better place? And if you can't think of one on the spot, I'll pick it up. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, if you have one, go for it. I'd have to think about it. Basically, like, have I met someone or a situation that's extremely negative or problematic, and I made an intentional effort to make that thing positive or see the bright side of things, is what you're asking.
Well, let me give you like an example I'm thinking of, and then maybe it'll give you something to work off of. So, even I'm going to take an example. When I was at university, I was at the, we did the Is University Worth It podcast last week or the week before. And we all went through, you, Emily, and me, about like all our educations. And like I said on that podcast, I did the degree, did the first master's, did the second master's. By the middle of the, even by the first bit of the second master's, I was starting to get nervous. I was like, holy shit, man, you're in your mid, almost in your mid-20s at this point. You got to start working. You got to start making money. But I knew that the soonest that I could get to the point that I'm making money was 2 years from then, because the program was 2 years. So no matter how anxious I was for that, no matter how nervous and uncertain of what was going to happen in 2 years, I knew that I had 2 years to wait no matter what. So I had a negative external stimulus, was starting to get pressure from peers, from family, that sort of thing. I wasn't living in the place I want to live. I was accruing student debt. I had just bought a car that, you know, took up some capital as well. And I just wasn't in the place that I wanted to be. And same thing, like noisy apartment, flickering lights, like all that sort of thing. But I said, all right, I got 2 years of being in the suck, whether I want it or not. So here's what I'm going to do. I am going to obviously study my ass off, get the best grades that I can get. So if that's worth anything at the interview or, you know, to get me into something, all right, I'll have that in my back pocket. Next thing I'm going to do, I'm going to do every single extracurricular I can't get my hands on. So I became the president of the student union for my program. I attended every single little BS seminar and course and networking event there was. And I did all these things consistently day after day, week after week, month after month. Still kept training, still kept going to the gym, still kept reading, did all these things. And eventually, someone came to the university, did a presentation about some jobs. I went, I spoke to the person, essentially got hired on the spot. But I had all this momentum that I was building and taking through, that I was filtering along, that I was gutting through like all the negative stimuli, saying that at some point there's going to be an opportunity here and I'm going to be ready for it.
Yeah.
So kind of something like that. So when it comes to mental diet, like there's the things that come into your mind and then there's the things of how you react. So it's like I'm purposely taking negative examples here because it's realistic. And if things are good, well, it's easy to get lazy and complacent. It's when things are bad that you have to have the habits in place to be able to overcome those.
Right. Now, that's a good example. But what about the things that make our mental diet bad, but that we don't notice, right? Mm-hmm. It's if we do them enough or are in those scenarios enough, it will basically give us a bad, I would say, mental diet or an unhealthy mental diet. However, it's not something we notice. And you and I were talking about this the other day, and you had brought up the news cycle. And I think that's a great example. So can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, man. Well, I'll take an example from this past weekend. I was kind of jotting down some notes for us to talk about. It was, I think, Saturday or Sunday morning, and my parents had the CBC on. And okay, like you and me both have the same opinion on CBC. So I knew I was writing about mental diet. So I said, this is perfect. I'm just going to watch it for an hour, and I'm going to take notes of, you know, about what was the big stories of the day and also how that made me feel. So I'm half-hazardly watching. And these were the big stories in like the news hour. First thing, Rona, obviously. Yeah. And the slant
what's
here.
What's new?
Yeah. CBC being CBC was, should we lock down more? And all these experts that are pretending to be anti-lockdown, but are obviously very pro-lockdown, who think that the only thing that we should do is lock down more and more and more.
And by the way, in Ontario here, we've already been locking down more. And now we're going to lock down even more.
I can't wait for you to tell me about that. That's something I want to ask you today.
I don't want to talk about it. I want a healthy mental diet.
All right. Well, good.
Isn't that what we're teaching?
That's what we're talking about, right? So, okay. So Rona, be scared, stay home, stay away from your family. Don't live your life. All right, cool. Good to know. Next big story. Racism is out of control in Canada. You know, so, you know, Canada is racist. Okay, good to know. That made me feel great. next thing. So since the United States went out and signed off on a $1.9 trillion stimulus bill, because it's going to work. Should Canada be spending more money too? Like, shouldn't we keep up? Are we going to fall behind the U.S. since we're not going to be stimulating our economy in the same way? Shouldn't we take on more debt?
Because we haven't taken on more debt in less than a year.
Yeah.
over like an extra 200 and something billion dollars, yeah, I think this past year.
I think 20% of all the U.S. dollars in existence right now have been created in the last year.
Yeah, no, but and Canada, I think, has taken on over $200 billion in debt in just a year alone.
Yeah, and
I believe so.
And our economy is, you know, about a tenth of the size of the United States. So $200 billion at a zero, there's your $2 trillion right there. And last but not least, very much in line with the last one, wood is getting crazy expensive, which, yeah, it really is. But there's no inflation, remember? And inflation is, according to the Consumer Price Index, we're at, you know, 1.7%, whatever it is.
Jason, it's just a supply chain. Don't worry.
It's just a supply chain. Yeah, but 254% in lumber prices. You've seen asset prices. Let's see, we're about, I don't know, 10% above the crash right before Corona in the S&P 500. Housing market is hot nationally. My house has probably increased in 40% in value, being conservative, in the last 12 months. Yours probably right around the same, if not even more. But yeah, so there, inflation isn't a thing. Okay, good to know. So I was kind of chuckling. And you can tell just by the tone of my voice, right? Like, I'm rehashing this memory and I'm getting pissed off, because that's what the news is for. Let's be honest. Yep. That's what the news cycle is for, is to get you emotionally wrapped up into whatever, think the sky is falling, just hate everything and just keep watching, because maybe they'll give you a sliver of hope and they'll just give you the solution after the next commercial break.
Yeah. Also, what are you going to talk about when you run into a friend or even a stranger or whatever, and you start a conversation that day? Are you going to talk about Corona some more? I bet you are. Or if you saw something fun on the news, like, I don't know, dogs, are you going to go and spark up a conversation with someone and say, hey, I saw a dog today, right? That's not what people talk about, sadly.
Dude, so that's exactly what I did. I watched that garbage for an hour. And then the next thing I did was I was still on my computer. I put my headphones in and I started playing Bloons, the little silly tower defense game that I like with the little silly music in the back. And I was happy as a pig in shit. Was I doing something productive? No. Not at all. Less productive than before. But you know what? I felt a million times better. And even if it was mind-numbing and stupid, the colors were bright and the balloons were exploding. It was fun. I felt like $1 million. But it's just to say, like, the importance of what you put into your mind, right? So obviously you can't go play video games all day. But you see where I'm going with this, right? Put positive things into your mind, and that you're going to see a spiraling effect. Or put negative things into your mind and watch the spiraling effect.
Right. Yeah, for sure. I was, and speaking of, so linking this to neuroplasticity and the mental diet, I was doing a bit of reading as well. And I stumbled on a paper that talked about how I believe it was monkeys they were studying, and how some monkeys had died essentially just out of the blue because of the stress of being separated from their community. Mm. And they had done some research on their brains afterwards. So it was all part of the neuroplasticity, the neurons and the synapses, and how some, I think it's called dark neurons or something. I'm not an expert, but essentially a whole, you know, all those branches of the brain had essentially died off due to that instant stress. And two good points here. The first one is they separated a monkey from his monkey community, which is sounds very familiar to what's happening today. And it didn't end up very well for these poor monkeys in the study. But
monkeys had the flu, so it was worth it.
Yeah, exactly.
Hashtag canceled us.
Yep. The other point I was going to make with that, now I forget. Thanks a lot, Jason.
You're welcome.
Aren't there monkeys in your tower defense game too?
Oh, dude, it's all monkeys. It's monkeys versus blues.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a great time. You're like throwing dart. I want to meet the guy who was high as a kite, who's like, bro, I know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a little cartoon monkey. I'm going to put a dart in his hand. And it's going to pop a balloon. Oh, I bet you it was at a carnival. I bet it was an old Carnival game or something.
Maybe. Anyways, I've played that game too. But anyways, back to my monkey study. So they had looked at it and said, essentially, what gives you a, in a sense, a very poor mental diet, what gives you bad neuroplasticity is things like insane stress, right? So the example of the news cycle is not necessarily insane stress or you know, traumatic experience, but it's increments of that every single day. And then it dominates how you feel. It dominates what you talk about with strangers even, right? What do we talk about? The Canadian top, the main topic of conversations to spark up in Canada used to be the weather. That was the official topic of conversation. Now it is absolutely coronavirus. I'm sorry, weather can be boring, but the weather is a lot more benevolent and even positive than talking about corona each and every day. So that's just something to think about. But when we talk about stressful situations or just constant stress affecting the neuroplasticity of your brain, something I was thinking about, you brought up the news, but what about horror movies? That's always something I've been curious about, because I love movies, as you know, and when I chat with people and we fall into the category of horror movies, I always tell them I'm not a huge fan of horror movies. They have to be really well made. I find most of them are silly. And most of the time, what I find is, I always describe it this way, is I say they're unhealthy because they're only trying to give you jump scares and that instant huge adrenaline rush and stress. But really, at the end of the day, the story wasn't great. The production wasn't great. It was kind of stupid. In fact, sometimes it's very stupid. You know, so unless it's a very well plotted out, produced horror movie, I don't care for them very much.
Yeah,
but don't you find they're unhealthy?
Yeah, you're just inserting, you know, bad imagery into your mind. Like, I can understand, like, it's a release or whatever, so you're experiencing like a high emotion. Maybe you can let out a few screams and stuff, and there could be a catharsis there. All right, I can kind of see that. But at the end of the day, what you're putting in is just bad stuff into your mind. Sure, I'll call the judgment on that one. Whatever.
Yeah. Like once in a while, but people are like, oh, I love horror movies.
It's either that or it's gore porn or terrifying. Like one movie, like there's a couple, two movies I choose categorically to watch: Human Centipede and the Saw series. I will not watch those. You could not pay me enough to watch those. It's
torture porn.
It's overt torture. Like whenever I see like a snippet of a horror movie like that, and it's something grotesque, just completely violating another person like that, I don't feel scared. I don't feel repulsed. I feel like gut rage. Like I just want to find the person who's responsible that one and just just beat his face in. Because I'm like, how can you do that to another person, right?
Yeah. Great example of not what to do, of what not to do on the mental diet.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So sure. Yeah. So what's some of the like, some of the other traps? Like we spoke a little bit about the news. We spoke a little bit like setting and environment. Is there anything else that comes to mind that you have to watch out for before we start hitting some of the more, you know, positive and light stuff?
Yeah. And talk about the tools. Another trap, I think, and it's only become more and more relevant in the last 10 years or so. And that's social media. I would say that's gotta be one of the main culprits. It ties into the news because a lot of news and sensationalism and all that stuff is definitely shared on social media, whether that's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. That's a bad one. But that's one thing where it's like, hey, maybe you should calm down on the amount of time you spend on Twitter every day. Do you really leave Twitter having learned more or feeling better or feeling like you spent a constructive 15 minutes or an hour? I don't know how long people spend on Twitter, honestly, but wouldn't you have been better off doing something else, whether that's reading a book, stretching as you like to do, playing an instrument, working out, running, I don't know, chatting with your wife, whatever it may be.
Yeah, there's one thing that you let off at the top of the subject. And it's the phrase that you are what you eat, but you become what you think. And that's really one thing that I think speaks a lot to this is you have all these negative thoughts and negative inputs. Well, to which direction is your thought process going to go? You're not going to be thinking about new business ideas. you're not going to be thinking about ways to make more money, become more healthy, improve your relationships with other people. You're just going to be left feeling a little bit hollow, a little bit salty, and kind of void of any positive thought. And if you don't have the positive thought, you're not going to create positive action, right?
Right. Yeah. So you actually wrote down something here. Instead of scrolling 15 minutes on social media, how about you stretch for 15 minutes and see how that works after a week?
Yeah, man. Stretching is great for you. Does a ton. Does yeah. a ton. Super underrated physical activity.
Hey, something I don't do enough either. I try to work out and stay in shape, but stretching is something I am very bad at. And in fact, I'm pretty sure it's proven that people who stretch regularly live longer on average. So
yeah, and I mean, you can't do just that. You got to lift the weights. You got to put in the miles. You got to do all that. But don't forget about the proper recovery and just taking care of your mobility. It'll really take care of you in the long run.
Right.
So yeah, man.
What are some tools? What are let's finish off with some positives here. What are things that people can take home and practice or apply?
Well, what you're trying to do is you're trying to block out the things that'll set you down a negative road. You're trying to let in the things that'll lead you down a positive road, but it's inevitable that there's going to be negative stuff. So when that stuff comes in, how do you kind of turn it around or be apathetic to it? So
right.
we did one podcast on productivity. That was one of my favorites. I love that subject. Kind of like this one here, where it's, what are you doing to make yourself better? Well, one of the big things in productivity was discipline. So same idea as when it comes to the mental diet, be purposeful about what you're putting into your mind. You know, understand that I'm going to read 15 minutes a day of something that I want to learn. I'm going to practice my instrument 15 minutes a day. I'm going to walk for 15 minutes a day or hit the gym, whatever, some sort of good physical activity. And I'm going to be disciplined in the things that are going into my mind so that I have the energy and the mental bandwidth to create, you know, something more. So I don't end the day at a zero sum. I end the day at a positive. And even better if I was able to give something back to someone else.
Right. I have one of my tips here is never spend more time on the problem rather than on the solution. So you mentioned negativity just a second ago. It's normal to have negative thoughts. It's also normal to be in situations that piss you off, whether that's traffic, whether that's lockdowns, whether that's whatever it may be, a problem with your relationship at work, whatever. So it's kind of normal and necessary for you to get pissed off, feel that negative emotion. But with that negative emotion, it's to not necessarily just dwell on that negativity and on the problem, but how do you fix it? Or how do you become productive based off of that problem?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because my grandmother used to say this all the time, why cry over spilt milk?
Yeah,
yeah.
You know? Exactly. No,
that's just a grandma. But,
yeah, well, it's happened. You can't fix it. So you can't fix what happened, but you can fix what, you know, will happen in the future, or maybe prevent to happen in the future. So it's the same kind of thing. If you find yourself whining and moping about something, a problem you have with something that's going on right now, that's fine. But how about you spend that effort and those neurons on something else, or solving that exact problem that you have?
Yeah. And actually one thing, a tangent off of that, you only have so much energy in the day. You only have so much to mental bandwidth to put towards stuff. So why put it on the problems when you could be putting on the solution? So for the next one, I'm going to steal a page from a Jordan Peterson's book. And I mentioned earlier one of my examples where, say, your apartment's a little bit cruddy. The environment's not that great. It's just nothing. Whenever you look around, whether you realize it or not, you're not putting good visual stimulus into your head. So start by cleaning the place, you know, do your bed, make your bed, do the dishes, clean the floors, get a $5 plant that you can put in the window. Just get a little bit of greenery.
And responsibility then.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to water it. Yeah.
You know, change the lights, get some natural light lights. So it's not some shitty incandescent that makes you feel like you're at the office. change the, you know, maybe if you own the place, repaint it, sand the walls and repaint a nicer, lighter, good feeling color. All these things will just slowly go and add to your mood and elevate your mood, put your mind a little bit more at ease and give you at least a better framework within to operate.
What if your favorite colors are red and black though, Jason?
Oh, I can't help you.
In fact, yeah, I think there's also studies about colors, right? Like blues are much, much better for the positive vibes and reds are, you know, anger.
Oh yeah, man. Actually,
that's pretty universal.
When I finished my MBA, I did the last semester in France and I specialized a little bit more in marketing for that one. And we had an entire course on colors and like how to market using colors. And yeah, like red is far more action and it's all, you know, it's love, it's sex, it's danger, it's risk-taking, it's a very action-oriented color. The enemy. Whereas green, like green will be a lot more ecological, soothing, natural, responsible, like all these things that will be espoused when you see that color in a marketing scenario. And it was really cool. Like black and white were a lot more for high-class things. So like you think a lot of the eau de gamme, all their brands are going to be black and white.
Right. The black tie events. And
yeah, exactly. So, you know, there's definitely an effect there.
Yeah. It's neat. I actually love colors just in general. It's a silly thing, but.
My name's William and I love colors.
I saw a dog today and I love colors.
I mean, both of those statements are true.
They are true. And hey, it's part of my positive mental diet. So there you go. If you guys have joys, and that's true though. Find joys. There are always big problems in life and they'll always keep you down. And that's normal. But try to find these pockets of greatness, of love, of positivity. And this sounds all, you know, yogi and stuff, but it's really true. It's, hey, I have a bit of time tonight to spend time with my family, or I want to really watch this great movie, or I really enjoy the colors of spring. So I'm going to take a few seconds and take it all in. I love the greenery that just popped out today because it was so sunny, that kind of stuff.
Man, do you know what the best example of that is?
What?
Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
You just couldn't get that guy down. Didn't matter what was going to happen.
That's true.
Probably luckiest person to ever live in, you know, the fictional universe.
Fictional universe of Tom Hanks. Yeah.
never take a ship or a plane or something with Tom Hanks. It never ends well. Never go on a trip with Tom Hanks.
Yeah, that's true, eh?
Yeah,
every good point.
every movie that he's in that involves some form of transportation, if you're not Tom Hanks, you're fucked.
Hey, that's true. Yeah, I'm even thinking like there's even like a lot of chase scenes in Toy Story with vehicles when he's Woody.
Wait, he's Woody in that?
Yeah, he's Woody in Toy Story.
Would you believe me if I told you I've actually never watched Toy Story?
I mean, I believe you, but I'd say you're on the negative side of the mental diet.
All right, fair enough. All I remember is like there's like little like spider thing with like a like doll head on top, and I saw that as a kid, like freaked me the fuck out. So I was like, yeah, I'm not watching that.
There was one of them, yeah. That as if you haven't seen that with me. Like I watched that movie religiously when I was
I don't know. Like maybe we did like when we were like 5, 6, 7, but I don't remember it.
Huh. Anyways, I recommend at least Toy Story 1. Toy Story 1 is just awesome. It's also like the first Pixar movie and it still holds up today.
Oh, cool.
For like CGI movies, yeah, for sure. So any last bits of advice here are just kind of.
Yeah, man. One cool. Last little one. This is one I struggle a lot with. It's being outcome independent. So you're on your path. You're able to filter the bullshit out. You're able to do most of your things, you know, reasonably well. But the goal isn't being achieved yet. It's going to take patience and you're not there. Or say you're really close to the goal and you get a setback and you get emotional about it. You get upset. You have to learn to be independent of the outcome. If I fail, I learn. If I succeed, great. And that's a big part of the mental diet and the discipline that I mentioned earlier. Like I think of one of my friends who's a poker player. He's really quite good, has gone to Vegas a few times, plays online, has won a few tournaments here or there. And if he starts getting wrapped up in his hand, if he starts getting wrapped up in the number of people around the table or the number of tables are still in the pool, he's not going to do well. But if he just sits down and plays poker and then looks around and like, hey, there's only eight guys left, it looks like I'm in the final table, he's going to do well. So have that discipline to be independent of the outcome. And that's really going to help your mentality and give you more freedom to concentrate on the things that you need to concentrate on.
Yeah, you're almost kind of saying here to take it one step at a time, right? Don't let the grandiosity of life overwhelm you, essentially, right? Because that's another thing too with financial independence, right? You know, being financially well off takes, for most people, it takes decades and decades and decades. And even that, you have to be very disciplined and, you know, somewhat know what you're doing. But again, take it one step at a time. These little wins lead to bigger wins, and it's part of our snowball effect, right?
Yeah, man.
And also something really interesting that I assume most of us know, but we kind of don't really think about it, is that human beings are pretty much the only creature that we know of that know to hold off so that it pays dividends.
Yeah, delay gratification.
Right. And that's something pretty important to note here and keep in mind when you are trying to achieve something or there's an issue and you're trying to fix it or you have goals long-term, is that all of these have a purpose, and in the long run, they're for positive outcomes. They're for a healthy mental diet.
So, yeah, man. So I hope this was enjoyable. I hope this was, something that was listenable and you picked a few little tips and tricks up, and, it's something that we all work on. I know I work on filtering out the bad, keeping in the good, making sure that the environment is good, and trying to get a little further each day.
Yeah. And we'll leave you with just a little bit of homework if you want. We both listened to this video recently for this podcast, but it's a video. It's actually a radio host named Earl Nightingale. He's big in the 50s, I believe. This talk is called The Strangest Secret. It's about a half an hour or so. And it's pretty much all about the mental diet, and it's all about, becoming what you think about on a regular basis. You know, where do you see yourself in the future? So we'll finish with that. Feel free to check that out. Earl Nightingale, the Strangest Secret. It's all over YouTube. So thanks a lot for tuning in, guys. Next week, we're going to have a special guest. So tune in for that. And in the meantime, please subscribe. You can find us wherever podcasts are found. That's Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We're also on locals.com. And we are also on Instagram and Facebook at The Independent Mindset. So thanks a lot, guys. And we'll talk to you next time. Cheers.
Cheers, everyone.